Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan.
It's Walsh.
International break number 500, breathing down our necks. Our ranks are still shit. Where are we at? What are we doing?
It's international break, so it's just jubilant. We won't get a red arrow next weekend. Nailed on.
Nailed on. All our guys get clean sheets and no red arrows. Beautiful week. Best week of the season, arguably.
So how'd you go this weekend?
Same as it always was. I mean, like, the week I wildcarded last week was the one, like, giant red arrow, I feel like. And every other week I've been kind of average. And this week I got 58 points. Top 10K net average is 57.3. Went up 47K. So I'm still down. I'm still, like, net down since my wildcard. But I'm climbing back up. I don't know. It's just a fucking average train keeps chugging. I'm just an average merchant. I mean, I got some decent points, like, it was nice for Fab to get 5 points, even though they conceded. That's kind of why Fab is good. Alonso's still just the best thing ever. Salah Cap does the job. Martial Penn was really lucky. That's basically it. I started Jerry D over Laporte. That gave me 2 points. That's fine, I guess. And yeah, it's just fine. Decent, fine.
So, I mean, now a couple weeks running of Arnie, Callum, and Muzza, Glenn Murray up top, are you still just like, fuck, I need to figure out how to fix this? Or are you kind of chilling with your mid-low priced?
No, I think it feels like a problem now. I mean, Arnie was always the one that was kind of like all good. Like, I'm not that worried. Obviously, a city this week, nightmare, but then really good fixture. So as long as he's fit, I think he's fine. I mean, Muzza, we mentioned last pod, but I'm definitely concerned. I mean, he gets hooked on 62. He had a couple shots. I don't know. He's really only good at home, so maybe I'll hold him one more week or something. He's home Leicester, but doesn't feel great. And then Bournemouth, we should talk about in like the meat of the pod section, because I mean, we've been talking about them and their bad fixtures for a while, and now it's really home Arsenal, at City, home Huddersfield, home Liverpool, at Wolves, home Brighton, at Spurs, at United. It's like,
yeah, it's bad.
It's fucking, now's the time where we have to kind of shit or get off the pot with Bournemouth assets. So I don't know about Callum. Okay. But yeah, it's just 2 pointers across the front line for basically everyone who doesn't have a fucking Kun. Like, there's so few forwards that are good. It's insane.
Well, I have one good forward who's not been mentioned, who died for his assist, Daniel Ings.
Neither of us have Rondon somehow, but he's fine.
Yeah, that's insane. We need to fix that. I wish I had money in the bank to go straight to Rondon. I'd just be right straight the fuck in, no questions asked. That would be such a simple swap.
It's like, it feels like, at this point, it feels like they're like Twitter bots and they're not actual real people who just every single week, whenever anyone scores any points, just write in like, is blah, blah, blah a good pick? Is blah, blah, blah essential? And this week it was Rondon. And it's just like, my responses are just like, nah.
I don't know. I love Rondon. I could see myself getting there.
Oh, God. All right. So how'd you do this week?
Very average as you, like 55. Yeah, just like Captain Mo, Allison clean, a few blanks at the back, Mane in, really good move by me. Fraser with the assist, I had Ings points, Kun, same as everyone seemed to have, you know, 4 or 5 players who returned and
yeah, pretty low scoring week. Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I think we need to pour one out for my absolute prescient last words on the last pod. See, this is why every time you ask me for last words, I say no, because I just don't want to fuck myself even harder. But it's just that, honestly, if anyone missed the last words, if you were smart and turned the pod off before the actual last minute, I shouted getting rid of Trent as soon as possible. And it's just like the exact microcosm of what I've been doing and how I've been seeing things all season, where it's just, he puts in straight clunkers after being dropped for two games and started the game off diabolically. He was like all over the shop. And I mean, I didn't expect him to start I don't know what I'm saying. I didn't expect him to start anyway. And he was awful at the beginning of the game. I'm like, fuck, like Trent, God damn it. And then he gets the assist to Buns. I'm just like, oh my God, what am I doing? And he settled down and transferred out. I mean, I transferred out 20 points. I spend two free transfers and I get negative 18 points. Like, it's insane. I'm just an insane person. Like, I've been saying since like game week three to just fade my moves because every single transfer I've made has been bad. It's just, it's so frustrating.
Good friend of the pod, like, Ray, who I think made the same moves as you or similar moves as you, wrote in to Slack and he said, what's the actual point of doing transfers ever? And it's just like,
it's so frustrating too, because I still haven't taken a hit all season. I've been floating a transfer for I think 3 or 4 weeks straight before I made this aggressive move. But it's just the kind of thing where we see like three straight weeks where like Mane and Mo both double haul like a couple games ago and they have a really easy fixture. And then, you know, at City with the huge haul, I'm like, okay, like it's just time to make an aggressive move and chase a really good fixture, maybe best of the season for Liverpool at home. Like, and I mean, Mane should probably have scored early in the game. He had a really good chance. And then, then the goalkeeper makes that save on his blast in the second half, which was like, okay, it was just a good save. It wasn't like anything out of the control or out of this world. But it's the same thing like you said last pod. Like Mane either just looks like a nightmare or he's fucking amazing. But No, but it is not regardless of opponent. Like 2 games ago, home Cardiff, he had fucking 15-point brace. Like when they play these shitty teams, you know, that's when you need to go for him, like home West Ham, Leicester, Palace, like those are the games where he's double digit hauled. And obviously he didn't double digit haul every single game, but like, you know, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. Like Silva's been ticking kind of along, but he's just stats merchanting, not really like explosive at all. Is he really a good long-term hold for his price? I'm like, you know, it's, and then he like scores. I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, and it's just so frustrating.
Well, I think like, yeah, I mean, the Mane thing is just, that just happens. I mean, it happens to you every
week.
But it's
like Silva,
happens.
It's like Silva in the derby. I'm like,
yeah, I think the Dilva thing, the takeaway from the Dilva thing is that, and I mentioned United and how bad their defensive record was going into that match, but we both kind of had the feeling that like, okay, but it, like, it's Mourinho, it's United, it's the derby, like it's not going to, they're not going to be that bad, but they just are. Like, that my biggest takeaway from Dilva scoring and the Manc derby is just like, no, like City are they're worth whatever 10 places ahead of Manchester United. They are that much better than them. It's not a competitive match in the slightest. And that's one thing that neither of us thought was going to happen. So Dilva out felt better than it actually was, I think, for that reason.
Yeah, but at the same time, like looking at Dilva's, obviously the stats are amazing. The stats are always there, but
always.
I mean, he has like 6 returns on the season, which is, I mean, for 8-5, like, that's not acceptable, really. And I mean, he usually is really good on bonus, but also sometimes they score 6 and he gets, you know, double, like, against Burnley, he had a double return and got no bonus because they won 5-0 and everyone else did everything else in the world.
Yeah,
so, like, bonus is like a mixed bag because when they score heavily, he's not explosive at all. I mean, he's two assists is, I mean, a double return is basically his cap. But when I'm going from him to Mane, I'm like, okay, like, let's go. But and then at the same time, like Richarlison does the exact same fucking thing as Silva for $1.5 million less, basically. Like, you know, I expect, and he's more explosive. So I'm just like, I still don't feel like Silva's like a really good pick.
Yeah, I was going to ask like you if your evaluation Silva changed on Dilva or not after this.
It changed more on like Bilva. Like, give me Bilva at 7-5. I feel like they do the exact same fucking thing. I mean, Bilva doesn't go centrally and he's not that target man in the middle like Dilva sometimes does during the game, but I mean, that's like, you know, how he scores goal. He's like finds himself those little free spots on the edge of the, like the penalty box or whatever. But I mean, give me the million less. I mean, Bilva makes like a lot of similar creative chances and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just one of those. And now I'm like starting to look really at using wildcard within the next couple of weeks because I don't know what's happening. And I just feel like, what am I just going completely rogue, like you style, and completely off the rails and go in on some insane shit, which I feel like would be really fun and I kind of want to. Or yeah. Do I just, you know, get like the template guys I'm missing? Like, I still don't have Alonzo, and that's been obviously not great. He's the highest scoring player in the game, but you know, I'm just at a crossroads, because like I've mentioned in the last couple of pods, I've never been doing this badly before and playing FPL. So it's I'm in a tough spot, Alon. I'm a little lost puppy, lost at sea.
Yeah, we're all a little bit lost. You know. You're very lost. We're all a little bit lost.
I'm very lost. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Slack is not never, lost. Never everyone heard on you Slack like is this. Everyone on Slack is like at worst 50K.
It seems like that.
Oh, it is.
Then,
like that.
Then again, there some players on Slack are 3 million.
No,
they're
no
just more like quiet.
That.
Like, yeah.
That's like
yeah.
me and
you. I'm not calling out his name because I love the guy, but oh yeah, he's 3 million. Let me do housekeeping, then let's go in. So shout out to the FML Field Prize League slash Mug League leader for November so far, Tim Waters, aka Waters FC. Nice, just simple name there. Shout out to the Goal Scorers Challenge League leader so far, Magic Mike and Scott Desert. Tempe Bug, tied up top, 13 goals each, both ranked 22nd overall right now. Good job by them.
Dr. Bug with a steady ascent.
Yeah, Bug is it's coming, dude. He's coming. He's diagnosed the Goal Scorers Challenge, if you know what I'm saying. And lastly, shout out the top of the FML Public League. It's just the guy. He's up to 7th in the world. He's going to be top for the rest of the season, let's be honest here. All right, where do you want to start?
Let's just do questions. Questions are always good in these international break weeks. What's the community up to?
Well, let's see. We had a lot of questions about defense and defenders. We had Lee on Slack saying Newcastle defenders, sell or keep. We had Shimmy on Slack. Is it worth hanging on to Balbasaur and other West Ham defensive assets for their upcoming run despite not looking good against Burnley and Huddersfield? And we had FPL Lewis on Twitter. What to do with West Ham defense if we were already invested in Bulba or Fab? Is it just a blip of bad form, or, you know, who would you move to in the same price bracket? There was like 2 weeks ago, there was like the big, like, is it Brighton? Is it West Ham? Is it Newcastle? Kind of like, which of these teams is going to put up points? And it might just be none of them. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely bankable, none of them. But it's the same thing with West Ham. First of all, Fabianski's in a different class. Like you mentioned in your recap of your team. I mean, he got 5 points. They conceded. Like, he's totally a fine pick. There's no reason to touch him. He'll get saves and the odd bonus points for saves and shit like that. But
yeah.
For a defender, yeah. I mean, you're not disillusioning yourself thinking like a 4-5 price defender is going to start keeping cleans when they have easy fixtures. Like, they're bad and they're priced 4 or 5 for a reason, because they're bad. But, you know, you make the fixture play and, you know, you hope that you get maybe like 50% of the rotatable fixtures cleans or something like that. Is really what you hope for. I mean, that's what we've always hoped for when, you know, in seasons past when we've really shied away from premium defenders, maybe not last season or this season, but, you know, 2-3 seasons ago, we would maybe have one. You know, we're rotating 4.5 million defenders for 2 spots, and you play the fixtures. So West Ham, we were shouting West Ham the strongest a couple weeks ago because they had the best fixture run of these bad teams. You know, we mentioned Newcastle. We liked Newcastle's defense the best, but their fixtures weren't as good, and we felt more comfortable with playing a marginally worse defensive team with much better and longer run of easy fixtures. So you just got to look at your defense and your structure, and you just got to make sure you're not picking these players and relying on them to start every week, because, you know, West Ham, like at Newcastle, at Fulham, those aren't good fixtures for them to clean. They're fucking bad. Like even at Burnley, like I don't try at Southampton. I don't expect them to keep a clean sheet in these away games. At home, I'm like, okay, I'm comfortably starting them in these games. But if I could start like Doherty, like home Everton versus Balbuena at Fulham, I would start Doherty, the doc, the one pointer. Like, that's kind of where you need to think about it.
Yeah,
you kind of like don't over rely.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, I think like the expectations got a little bit unrealistic where people were, I mean, myself sort of included, because I wildcarded out, you know, a good goalie and all that stuff for Fabianski. But I think the expectations for a lot of people, maybe new people to FPL or whatever, were kind of transferring out premium defenders in order to get premium attackers and hoping that a defender on a mid-table team was going to like equal the points of like a Liverpool defender or something like that. But it's just not the case. And it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's really frustrating when I see people say things like, oh, like Liverpool have like three tough fixtures in the next six and look at the fixtures for West Ham. Like, I'm going to make this switch and they'll probably do the same. It's like, they are not going to do the same. That's fucking stupid. Like, just say like, I'm hoping to get a percentage of the points, but the money I'm freeing up, I'm going to make up in this other place. But
right.
It's just like sheer disillusionment when people say that and they're like, they're going to do the same, right? It's like, no, that's a downgrade. They're going to get less points. Just make sure that the million or a million and a half you're freeing up and putting in this midfield spot is going to make up for it. So it's just, again, it's just making your expectations like more in line with reality. It's, you know, it's a simple thing.
Yeah, that's really what it is. I don't know. So out of all of them, right, would you still back West Ham the most because they still do have the run aside from City this week? Or I don't know. Last week on the pod, I said that I was encouraged by the Burnley performance because they basically allowed nothing, even though conceding two. And then they shat the bed at Huddersfield, which is a pretty decent fixture. And Huddersfield had a lot of chances, a lot of shots, like looked good. And that was bad.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit back more leaning on Newcastle. They've just been putting in a few really, really solid performances. It seems like he's got the ship all righted. And the next six are hit or miss. I mean, they're decent, but then they get really bad in December through to February. So it's just it's a tough short-term pick when we're going to have fixture pile up and a lot of issues that you're probably not going to want to have one of the Newcastle defenders. But Palace should be coming back into thoughts because the fixture, the tough fixtures are pretty behind. I mean, they've got at United this weekend, which isn't great, but I mean, it's not horrible. But Palace, obviously, we can't score any goals, but our defense has been very good. So I still think Wan-Bissaka is a good pick. If you don't have him, you got rid of him. He's still really cheap. I think that's reasonable. But once more, it depends on if your rotation and which weeks you're going to need this defender to come in. So that's the number one thing I would look at, I think. I still think Brighton defense is fucking awful. I think they're just terrible.
Awful. But another shout for Wolves also. I mean,
oh yeah, and Wolves, wait, fine, fair. Yeah, I keep forgetting that they're in this price bracket.
Right, they are, and they've been the best all season at this bracket. They've gone four straight without a clean, which is obviously bad. Two of them were really tough fixtures, but their next four, they have home Huddersfield, at Cardiff, home Chelsea, bad, at Newcastle, and then even home Bournemouth after that is not that bad. So if you can figure out a rotation to dodge home Chelsea, home Liverpool, then they, you know, are really good picks for the next like seven game weeks. So
yeah, and even if you feel like you've missed the boat on Docky Doc, I mean, Johnny's 4-5, that's 0.5 difference, and
Bennett, dude.
I mean, whatever about Bennett, but Johnny's at least playing also as wingback, and his stats are very good. They're not at Doc levels, but they're very good. So he's definitely someone you could, if pressed, start in a bad fixture because maybe he'll get an attacking return for you.
Yes, that's a good point. You can't do that with Bennett, but Bennett is maybe more favorable for if you are going to go rotating, you want kind of like a cheaper guy. Cheaper, nicer.
0.3.
That's good.
What do you think about our defense? Like, you're still sitting there with four premiums in your team. I mean, I brought in absolute legend Peltier.
Yeah.
Back from the dead.
Yeah, that was your one good transfer, sort of.
Yeah, dude, getting one more point than he's usually getting from 0 to 1. Yeah. That's me flying.
That's value. Like,
I'm flying. But I mean, I'm going towards the direction of absolute shambolic, shoddy ass back five, and you're sitting with your four premiums, and we had a very low scoring week full stop, and we're kind of making the case for moving money out of defense into attack. Do you think that still holds true after this game week? I mean,
I think everyone's like dream team, like a sort of like template sort of ish team, has to involve at least one City, at least one of Kun or Raz, Hazard, maybe still Mo, and then like that's already just so much money that like you already are you're not going to be able to have my defense of four premiums and Doherty. So I think that like that is kind of where the like where the teams are shifting, and it makes sense, and all these attackers are so good, and captaincy options, et cetera, et cetera. That said, I mean, Alonso is the easiest pick ever. I was just talking to Desert Bug because he's wildcarding, and he wasn't sure about Alonso, and I was like, he would be the absolute first name in my wildcard. I don't give a shit. Yeah. He's 7-1. I don't fucking care. Like, he's the highest scoring player in the fucking game, and he's 7-1. I don't care. He's a defender. Like, skip all that shit. Like, he's incredible. He's such a good pick. Whole easiest set and forget of the season for me. So, yeah, I mean, I like the premium attackers, and I wish that I had a premium city attacker, because that's the one of those three that I'm missing. And it's really difficult for me to get there because I have my money's all spread out amongst premium defenders. But I mean, Alonso plus a bunch of shitheads and then have the three premium attackers like that, I think that's probably a good shape.
Yeah, I mean, there's also Gomez is 5-1 still. You can get exposure to Liverpool defense for cheap. Stoners is still 5-3.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's
definitely under the radar option that should be in a lot more teams. I mean, Mendy, I don't know, Mendy's been very frustrating lately. Just like watching them play, he's just not overlapping that he does sometimes, but just not that much. A lot of times he just kind of makes that pass to get the ball to the edge of the box, and then he kind of retreats.
Yeah, I feel like I mentioned this to someone on Slack, where it was just like, I mean, I didn't actually look back at the numbers, so I could just be pulling this out of my ass, but it feels to me that lately City have just been scoring so early that they just don't need Mendy's overlapping runs, because they're just, from that point on, there's space, the other team's coming out a bit, they're just going to keep donging for fun. Whereas, like, I feel like early in the season, they needed Mendy. Like, they needed him to get forward, to get the extra attacking output that they needed at those points. So, I don't know. It does feel like maybe if some team could hold them for fucking 10 minutes without scoring, which is not the case lately, then maybe Mendy starts growing into the game and they pile it on, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of like his influence with Sané on, but this weekend was really interesting because he wasn't overlapping at all. And then when Sané came on the last like 20 minutes, then he was overlapping a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though maybe that's a coincidental thing that's happening, I don't think that's the reason why he may not be overlapping. I think like you mentioned is, I mean, granted, he did get two assists when they beat Huddersfield 6-1 game week two. But yeah, I just, from what I can see in the stats with the fullbacks, it's a very small sample. It's just, for this is basically just what I've been seeing, and I just don't see him attacking that much, and I do not at all consider him worth his price. So that's an issue, but yeah, Alonso's good, but Stoners, I like Stoners. Stony boy, he's good.
Yeah, Mendy was always way overperforming stats, to be fair, and so maybe he's just coming back to earth. Because it was always, a lot of those games were like, two chances created, two assists. And it's just
he was getting assists on not even chances created, just a 3-yard sideways pass, and the guy goes off and beats four people and scores.
Like, yeah, so maybe he's just leveling out to like human levels of fullback production, where he's not going to finish the season with like 20 assists, like it seemed like early. But I mean, so forwards I think are interesting also to talk about, because like you mentioned my front line, there's really very few forwards that seem good right now. Dong Fest on Slack said, is it time to jump off Lacazette into who? Lee on Slack said Jimenez or Ings for long term. Well, we need to see about Ings' injury, but then there's all the like 7-ish price guys, Muzza, Callum, Arnie, Wilf, etc. What do you like in forwards?
This is like a big reason why I definitely thought a lot this weekend about wildcarding during the international break, because I'm not happy having Mo and Mane at all. And I just, the fringes of my team have issues and I just have problems. But the main reason why I decided not to is because I have no fucking idea what's happening with the forward position. Yeah. Like, I want to go back to a 3-4-3. But outside of like Kuhn and Arnie, I'm looking and I don't want to box myself into price structure of like plumping for someone like Aubameyang and then, you know, lessening people elsewhere. if I should maybe have Jimenez instead.
Yeah, maybe Jimenez.
And put the money in midfield. Like, that's the thing I'm tinkering. I'm like, I just don't know what's better, and I need more information. So, I mean, that's not helpful. I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying about that. But I think in general, like, yes, I think Lacazette is not looking great right now based on Arsenal still also having a few trickier fixtures coming up. But, I mean, I am starting to think about Kane a little bit more. Granted, he was bad Kane again this weekend. He was playing deep and just fucking horrible. He was so lucky to get points out of that game. But the fixtures turn for them soon. I am like, maybe too much concerned about the state of their pitch. I mean, it's just diabolical, and there's like more NFL games, and there's so much shit, and they don't have any home fixtures for the rest of the season now. So I don't know if that's a trap just because the fixtures are getting better and it's going to be a waste of money, but I'm in a little bit interested because he did have that game 2 games ago where he was fucking great.
And Champions League.
He was great in the Champions League, had a brace. So, and you know, they are getting healthier and they can maybe get rid of some of their shitty players like Sissoko and whatnot, but like Eriksen, and I mean, Ali was fucking so bad this weekend, but they're getting healthier. So that's one thing. But, and then Aubameyang also, I feel like Aubameyang's going to finish up the season. I mean, he's third right now in the point totals for the forwards, and he's been like terrible this season. I mean, he hasn't even been starting. He's dropping to the bench, and somehow he's third on the season. He's so good. It's like we forget how good he is.
Oh my God.
But he fucking, we've seen him as sitters for his whole career.
Yeah, that's
like,
just
he misses
what he does.
Sitters. That's what he's
he
like.
He gets volumes of sitters, and that's why he's good.
Exactly. But I feel like he's gonna just keep getting better as they get better and gel a little bit more. I don't know. Maybe that's just optimistic thinking, but he's great, and I'm interested in him.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in him.
There are some guys, but and again, I mean, Jimenez, like I mentioned, they have some, their fixtures are getting a little bit better right now, and I mean, he's a bit of a donk, but he's, you know, he trickles. He's been getting assists and shit, and he's definitely not an explosive player by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but for 5'8", he's great.
Yeah, exactly. 5'8", you know, I definitely like him more than Ings now that the fixtures are more like kind of similar for those two teams. But, and then Arnie, you know, Arnie speaks for himself. Are you worried about Arnie with the fixture pile up and his like carrying injuries incessantly?
I'm just always worried about him. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, playing two games in 3 days seems bad. I mean, he's going to have to manage it somehow, but there's so few other options that I'm just like, well, he's not going anywhere on my team, so I don't even know.
Yeah,
you're
just stuck with him. But I mean, if you didn't own him, you're lucky. I mean,
yeah, that is concerning. I didn't think about that. I don't know. I mean,
you look at the run, and I mean, you know, they have December 1st, December 4th, December 8th. It's at Newcastle, home Cardiff, home Palace. Like, you're buying him because of the fixtures, not necessarily because it's like West Ham are great, or I mean, Arnie's great, obviously, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's really reasonable. Yeah.
And then it's like December 27th, or yeah, 27th, 30th, 02. It's like at Southampton, at Burnley, home Brighton. I mean, we need him to play all these games to get the points to be worth like owning him. So I'm a little bit worried about Arnie. I was tinkering without Arnie and when I was like on Saturday.
But yeah, fuck, dude. I haven't even thought about that. That's such a headache.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about it when I was tinkering and evaluating everyone.
Yeah, because like in a normal Arnie season, he would never, ever miss a single minute because he's just like a tank and a beast. But yeah, he has no knees. He's suffering from no knees syndrome, and that's bad.
What about anything else?
I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's tough because, I mean, we were just all kind of, like, talking in Slack and shit, like, Shimmy and Dave and a bunch of people about, like, structure and who to get and just having a chat. And Shimmy kept banging on about how, like, Kuhn is still such a good pick, like, even though, you know, whatever, playing limited minutes and whatever because of the flexibility. But what's interesting is that, like, I don't see Kuhn ever not being a good pick, so it's not really that flexible because, like, even if Kane starts banging him in, I'm not going to want to go Kuhn to Kane because I'm going to want to keep Kuhn, you know? So it's like, it's a fucking minefield forwards this season. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's been tough. But at the same time, I mean, the top point scorer, I mean, they're scoring points. I mean, I still think Callum's fine to hold.
Yeah, so let's pivot there because as Shearer on Slack said, Bournemouth play Arsenal, City, Poole, Spurs, United, Wolves away in 6 of the next 8 fixtures. Would you still recommend keeping Wilson or would you go for Jimenez? Make more sense. I mean, phrases in this too. And Marcelli on Slack said, are we still high on Bournemouth assets? Because yeah, like I said at the beginning, now is the time to figure it out with Bournemouth, because and they just got fucking done by Newcastle, and then the fixtures are brutal, brutal.
I mean, when we keep talking about Bournemouth assets, like we all have, like there's so many of them. There are two players
there's
on Bournemouth two. That you
there's
own.
Fraser there's Callum.
There's Nonek and Callum. So, yes. I mean, my answer still holds from a couple weeks ago when we said this, and I don't think anything's changed, is that they're going to be getting less chances in total. And when that's the case, I would rather have the goal scorer than the assister, because that's just how I'm thinking about it. So I would much rather keep Callum than keep Fraser. And the main issues, the couple issues are, number one, there's really nobody that's close to like Fraser's price bracket that I think is better, which is that's a problem. So I'm going to
Rich
wanna,
is pretty close.
He's like a million. Oh, well, I bought him a while ago. So yeah. Okay. So they're pretty close. But you know, if you bought Fraser a while ago, then that's like a million for me, for example.
Yeah,
I have a 5.9 selling value on Fraser. So
okay,
like that's a significant chunk. So I mean, if you can upgrade that spot, then I think that's great. But otherwise, I'm just like looking around and thinking, you know, okay, the fixtures are bad, but what am I going to get? Like fucking, you know, Kennedy or like Jerry Deere, this Patterson.
Barkley.
Yeah, that's funny. That's fucking good one. And you were waiting all pot for that, I know. That's
oh, yeah, teed it up.
I mean, we get some stuff right sometimes, at least. We're still
that's fair.
That's my main thing with Fraser. But with Callum, I mean, like, he's still going to get a couple chances a game. I mean, he's obviously not the most clinical finisher. He's like but he's always had pretty decent stats, so I feel like he's going to be fine. And again, it's like if you don't have Arnie, if you're going to drop a million down to Jimenez, and the fixtures are obviously a bit better, but there's a big gulf in, I mean, those two attacks. And if you're not really making a significant upgrade with the million, like it has to be something where I'm like, okay, that's enough that I'm comfortable with the downgrade. But normally I haven't really seen that be the case. What do you think?
Yeah, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, because it feels like, like you said, like if you're making a double move, like Callum to Jim and a midfielder up or something, there's like these huge gaps in the price brackets at midfield and forward, where it's like there's the top echelon midfielders, 11, 13 Mo, 11 Raz has, whatever. And then like there's no one I want till like maybe Dilva at 8.5. And it's kind of the same in forwards. It's like Kane is sort of interesting. Kuhn is ticking along 12, 11, respectively. Alba's 11. And then there's pretty much no one I want until Arnie at 7. So it's like making a million on a double change, almost never. I can't like imagine that being worth it. Like no one has like fucking, you know, Jesus and they're going up to Kuhn. It's like, cool, yeah, that's a good move. Like who the fuck has him, you know? Like no one's going like, oh, should I go like Ali to Raz? I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. Like Ali to Raz. Go Alexis to Hazard. Yeah, that's a great move. Like no one has Alexis, so a million is insignificant. So yeah, that's what makes it tricky with this season in general. If there's one thing that I think it's that, where it's like I'm in a similar position. Like I want a premium City attacker. I feel like I need one. But I'm like three moves away, because I have to downgrade like several people to make like 4 million to make it up. So it's like if it's part of like a 2 week move where you're making that 4 million and getting like a really good premium guy, then sure. But like short term, that I can't imagine a double move that makes that worth it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I agree, and I think it's a tough one with the Bournemouth picks. If you have two, I would definitely urgently get rid of one.
Yeah.
But if you're holding one and you know you've got other stuff going on in your team, I don't mind same with Fraser. I mean, it doesn't feel good, and if I wildcarded, there's 0% chance I would keep him, but at the same time, I'm just home Arsenal. I don't know. Maybe they score a couple goals. I mean, they should have scored a couple goals against United at home. They looked great.
Yeah.
If they duplicate that performance, they could score three home Arsenal. At City's obviously bad. But, you know, these are poor rationalizations. And they're not looking fantastic. But I think it's team-based how dependent you are on, you know, other issues, if that's where you can focus your attention. But
yeah, home Arsenal, home Huddersfield, two of the next three are not, like, terrible.
Yeah, especially with Frey's, I have him at the price. My rest of my team's very destabilized, but if you could bench him against City and play, you know, fucking West Ham defender, some marginally bit to bad defender who has a good fixture over that fixture, then, you know, you can get away with that.
You do that, yeah.
Yeah, you do that and stuff like that. So I think it's definitely something you should be focusing on, though, if you have Callum or Fraser. I mean, just making up your mind and looking at it.
Man, it took me until now to really realize the, like, price gap issue that I just talked about. I hadn't looked at it until now. It's a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, that was also part of the reason why I went all the way down to Peltier. Like, I wanted to really skimp on the fringes and just go all in on these really expensive players, like being able to get up to Mane and then being that much closer to being able to get to Raz. I mean, I'm close to having Mo, Kun, Haz, and Raz. I mean, four like double digit guys, and the rest of my team's not an absolute dumpster fire. It's not fantastic, but I feel like it's good enough that those having those four explosive assets week on week should be able to carry me. But I mean, obviously I'm fucking doing terribly this season, so fuck me, but you know.
Yeah, that's life. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, yeah, this is really the season where we needed like Kev Erickson to be Kev Erickson.
Ollie, I mean, the 9.85 million, that's a dying price bracket. It's really rough. Same with the strikers. I mean, a couple of seasons ago, there were all these 9.585 strikers who we all had at least one of, and now there's just none. It's a strange
thing. Yeah, there's like Laka and no one else.
But I think that the same, even though I'm going to that extreme, you're also very viable tactic of combating that by going with premium defenders and having, you know, a lot of good players too, which makes sense as well because there's value in defense. So, you know.
Yeah, we'll see if it makes sense. We'll see next time I get burned by Heavy City crooked scoreline. I don't know. But Wolves are interesting. Leon Slack said, would you consider a double or even triple up on Wolves given their nice fixtures in the short term? Because he was also asking about Jimenez on the forwards and stuff. And I mean, they're so clearly, for their price range, they're so clearly the best team.
Yeah.
Is it worth tripling?
If you have the goal, if you have the goalkeeper and him and a defender, it's, you know, the goalkeeper I almost consider not even that much of a triple just because it doesn't really matter if they have clean sheets or not. You know, they're always going to get the save points and shit. So, but anyway, if that's the case, I don't mind it at all. I think Jimenez is a perfectly adequate pick when they have, you know, four good in the next five and you know, they're just fine and they're so fucking cheap.
Yeah, and Bennett, like Bennett's also a triple up that's like not really a triple up. Like he's like a fucking 4-2. Like he lives on your bench in bad fixtures and you start him in good fixtures. Like that's fine.
Yeah, I still don't feel that comfortable starting two defenders with one not being a goalkeeper. I mean, home Huddersfield, okay, that's an exception.
I mean, three out of the next four, I think I would feel fine with it.
Yeah, like at Cardiff, at Newcastle, I'd be like, ugh, like I'd rather just have one. I don't love double exposure. I just don't think that they're that good.
I think I'd be fine with it because my other options are fucking West Ham, Brighton, that's Newcastle.
No, yeah, it's like that's fair when you're comparing them to like priced players. But at the same time, I would rather. Yeah, I'm sitting on the fence with this. I'm not sure. I don't have a strong opinion, honestly, about it.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough one. All right, let's go continue on some questions. Etheridge Nets on Slack. He said, talk about Hazard versus Sterling. Long term, are they pretty much equal or is Sterling just better because City is so good?
I think they're pretty much equal. I think so. With Hazard, it's just hilarious. People when Hazard blanks and to see what the reaction is. And I wish we had a recording of how many times we've talked about this with Hazard, but if he's fit and he's starting, I don't want to look at what the stats say. I don't care. He's clinical. He's an absolute bonus point machine. He finishes top three, top four in the score for midfielders every fucking season.
He's
on pens. It's a set and forget it. You're overthinking it if you're switching, you know, off Haz, especially with Haz because the fixtures are just they're not indicative because, you know, he gets a pen, he scores a goal on a counter, like he does things versus bad teams as well as good, and it's just he's world class. So I think Haz is just one of those where you need to stick in and not twist around, because unlike with Mo where he's 13, I mean, I guess he is expensive now. He's another player I bought a while ago, but even at 11, he's just so good. And
yeah, I mean,
Haz is also so good.
The pen and the bone is not something to scoff at either, because he's had games this season where he's got a pen, a clean sheet, and max bones. And it's just 11 points from absolute fuck all. He didn't need to do anything, and he just gets an 11-pointer. It's just like, that's just Haz.
Yeah, and Raz, we know, is obviously more explosive. He has hat tricks at him, and Haz really doesn't. It's once in a blue moon, but he needs, like Mo, a double return, especially in that city side, to get bonus points. So when you're looking at the points, like every goal that Haz scores compared to when Raz scores, it's like Haz's goals are worth like 1 point or like 150% of the points, because when he scores a goal, he's getting at minimum two more added points with the bonus points, whereas Raz is not. You know, he needs dependent on something else usually. So that's again, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a very strong consideration. But I still think Raz, it should be both. I don't think it should be either or. Instead of looking at that spot and saying, which of these two should I have, I think you should be looking at your other midfielders and say, how do I get the other one that I don't currently have? Because every team should have both of these players. They're maybe the two best players in the game now that Mo is proving he's not worth the extra $2 million, and maybe along with Kuhn. So, yeah, I think that's the simple answer, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, although I think you said you're close to having all four. I think that's like, if you're wildcarding, you maybe start with all four and see if you can make a team that's not disgusting and go from there.
You can't. It's really tough. Yeah. You really can't. Especially because, like you mentioned earlier, Alonso is just too important, I think. It's not really defensible to not have him.
Yeah, it's sort of not.
It's just not. I mean, it's not like we're game week four. I mean, there's a reason. We're almost halfway through the season. He's the fucking top point scorer in the game. It's absurd. And he's, the last couple of game weeks, he's looked back to like game weeks one to four.
When God, he was, I can't believe he didn't score.
He hits the post. Yeah, he hits the post like minimum one time every game.
Yeah, his volleys, his technique. Yeah. It's just like, he's so good. It's crazy how good he is.
Yeah. He had that like four game week blip.
Yeah, where he wasn't attacking and shit.
Yeah, yeah. But the last couple, he's back on it. So, yeah. So, but there's no way of having those players without an Alonso at all, period. So that's tough. It's too tough.
Yeah, Bolton Wanderers, the one that got away. I can't believe this guy was on fucking Bolton. What the fuck? I
mean, he was on Sunderland.
Yeah, like, oh my God. What a life. Spurs gamer on Slack. Game week 15/16 is a turning point with pool fixtures looking rough, Arsenal and Spurs fixtures looking good. Will you consider getting assets in those teams, and who will be the fall guys? I mean, you kind of mentioned this with Kane.
Yeah, so first of all, I don't have time to listen to that pool fixtures get tough. They have one more hard fixture on the rest of the season for them, and that is against Man City at Man City. Every fixture is easy for them. I mean, they're varying degrees of easy, but the fixtures wouldn't like say, like, oh, it's time to get rid of Mo because the fixtures are tough.
Right, they're
just not. I mean, playing Spurs and United, those aren't tough fixtures. Playing Arsenal, that was a tough fixture.
Mo still returns every week.
He still returns every game. So that's one thing. That's fucking stupid. But the main thing with Spurs is the issue. There are several issues. I mean, number one, they have looked bad all season. And number two, they don't have any good attacking assets beside Kane. And Kane's 12.4 million, which is ridiculous. And number three is their defense is also a kind of fucking bad all season. And they have one of the worst
terrible.
Yeah, they have one of the worst goalkeepers in the division, maybe in continental football. So I just, the assets for Spurs, as good as the fixtures could get for them. And then also the home ground. Like, I mean, we saw that game against City.
Wait, so are there actually more NFL games? That's a thing?
I think so.
Oh my God.
I think they also have like fucking Irish rugby. Like they have other shit going on there because
it's Wembley and that's how they make their money.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Levy and whoever they lied to and said this fucking huge stadium was going to be done in like 13 days. Obviously, it's going to be a multi-year project. So I'm not 100% sure. We could do some more research on that and get back to it. But we saw what the pitch looked like with the NFL logo. It's fucking absurd. I mean, no one could play. So there are a lot of factors against Spurs. And I mean, Ollie Ericsson, I don't know. I just don't see a lot of assets there. So I'm not really banking that much on the fixture swing to be like, oh, now it's time to get all these great Spurs players who haven't been doing well because they've been having such tough fixtures. Like, that's just false. I guess it's not the script.
It's possible, like, Lucas and or Lamella or Son, if they can, like, keep their spot, nail their spot down, they would be the guys, I guess. But, like, I guess it's, like, Martial out for one of them if, like, he starts dipping in form or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not really going, like, Salah to one of those guys, you know?
No, they're different echelons.
But. Yeah, so, yeah, it is really tough. I mean, Kane is interesting, though. Kane is definitely
Kane's always interesting, I mean. Especially because he's had a couple good performances where he looked back to his old self again.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be fair, Trippier has been out of control. I don't know how he has all these points. He just keeps
attacking.
His
attacking is just ridiculous. Attacking.
So, I mean, he's someone to think about. But then again, then it comes down to, like, do you want him over Liverpool or City defender?
Or Alonso?
No. It doesn't matter how good the fixture run is. The answer is going to be no there. So Arsenal's more interesting, though. Just, I mean, I mentioned Aubameyang earlier. He's someone I'm definitely interested in because he's, again, like, one of maybe five-ish players in the entire division who have a hat-trick potential on any day. And he's interesting. And same with Laka. I mean, Laka's been
still
on,
interesting, yeah. People are being really harsh on him. Like,
I mean, he's gone off the boil considerably. Yeah. Stats have been bad.
And he also scored a worldie against Liverpool. And, like,
yeah, you know. But, I mean, one goal in his last four, that's pretty bad. You're spending $10 million on the player. You can't carry that. You just can't.
It's a dip, no question. But if he keeps starting, he's going to get, you know, he'll get out of it. He's a proven asset.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm more interested in those two players, I think. But in general, it's also, you know, Ozil. Like, are we going to buy him on the fixture turn? I don't know. Probably not. Like, you have Richarlison, you have Martial. I mean, they're cheaper and probably better. And then you have the more expensive players. There's just no room at the end. So I think.
And there's, like, no one nailed in their midfield still. Like, there's still, like, no one nailed. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if Iwobi was really playing more consistently, he would definitely be a super guy to look at. But he's. I mean, Mkhitaryan started the other day. It's just there's no one. Ramsey's like, we don't know what the fuck is happening with Ramsey. He's at the door, so they don't give a shit about playing him. So
I guess
in
a good fixture run, maybe like Kolasinac is like the rogue guy that comes in. Like, again, like we talked about all the other guys in the same price bracket. Kolasinac is 4.9. Like, I'll happily take Kolasinac over fucking, like, Duncan Duffy, if that's what we're talking about. You know, like,
he's playing.
He's in the box, like, all game. Like, he's Kola. He's
no,
crazy.
I forgot he started this weekend. That's a good shout. I mean, we remember how fucking insanely good he was at the beginning of last season.
Yeah, he started back-to-back. He started against Liverpool, too, and he was good. And
So. Is that because Lichtsteiner's been dead, or is that because he's just preferred now?
I think he was injured for a while, and then like Monreal, Lichtsteiner, Bellerin were all kind of hurt, and like they started Xhaka at left back, and it was all fucked up, and he just stepped in, I think, and just he's gonna try and hold on to that, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, that's very interesting. I obviously, you know what my thoughts and feelings on Arsenal defense are, as do all listeners of this pod, but
yeah, I mean,
that totally flew.
Yeah, they're not gonna. Again, we've said this a million times about every team. They're not going to keep pace with clean sheets like Liverpool and City. But are they better than West Ham and Brighton and Newcastle? And, like, people have, like, Bournemouth defenders? Like, no, I'm cool with that. Like, I'll take Kola over all of them, please. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. He could be cool. And if he keeps starting over these next few, he could be a cool guy. But, no, again, I mean, granted the fixture shift for these two teams, but I mean, we're going through the options from these two teams from an FPL perspective, and they're just none. So
yeah, it's like the top end and the punts.
Yeah, it's just so it just doesn't really matter that much, I guess, is our answer.
Yeah, I mean,
they're still worse than Liverpool and the City and Hazard and the good teams that have mixed fixtures are just better than these two teams with better fixtures is the short of it.
It's kind of insane that one of these teams is going to finish fourth and qualify for Champions League just by grinding out results and, like, just playing okay football. I don't know.
Arsenal. I think Arsenal are going to – They're good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, I like them. My Wolves absolutely should have beat them.
Liverpool performance opened my eyes. They're good.
Yeah, but then they put in the Wolves performance.
They could have fucking scored four against Wolves.
So could Wolves have. could have also. I don't know. Leno was good, though. Leno's 4'8". I don't know. Who knows?
He's good in real life, but I can't believe how many games they were starting check over him. That was insane.
What? Yeah, and Emery slyly is never going to have to answer for that somehow.
Yeah, that's insane. I'm surprised. Yeah, that was.
And Torreira. I mean, like.
Oh, well, Torreira is another. Yeah, that was well
publicized. If I had fireside chat with Emery, that would be question one and two.
Yeah.
I'd be like, so what'd you see in check? You know, just like straight up. Ray on Slack, great friend of the pod. What the fuck is the actual deal with Trent and what do we do with him?
You cover this. I don't want to. I just don't want to.
You just hold him, I guess. It's fine. If and when he starts, he's a good pick because Liverpool defense is really good and he still takes some frees and corners and is a good attacker. And when he doesn't start, hopefully you have a good bench. But I wouldn't transfer him in, and I probably wouldn't wildcard him in. I'd rather have Gomez for 0.1 more, who seems a lot more nailed. So that's that, I think.
All right.
Eric Biz, president. If you had Robertson, Alonso, and Mendy, but had to downgrade one of them this week to free up funds, which would it be and why?
That's easy Mendy for me.
Probably Mendy, yeah.
I already touched on it, but they also have a lot of aways coming up. It's just not close. I also still think that their defense is worse than Liverpool's.
Well, the only thing though with Mendy that I will say, and I agree of those three, it should be Mendy. But the only thing I would say is like they like you still want to cover City defense. I feel like I remember from last season not owning like Otamendi all season and shit, and just getting fucking. Pegged up my anus for not owning a City defender. It was destruction. Just like Ederson's pretty highly owned, like Mendy's pretty highly owned, like people are getting Laporte, people are bringing in Stones. Like it's just like printing points to have any one of these guys. And like just going off of Mendy because you have to like make a switch to get, I don't know who this guy's getting. I agree it's Mendy of these three, but it's like tough. Like to not have a City defender is like, it's a big feels bad. Not lately, but yeah.
I agree with that, but you know.
Yeah, you gotta spend the fun somewhere. And Raz is better than Mendy, so it's no question there.
Yeah, if that's the move, then that's the player to downgrade. No problem with that.
Yeah. Tim on Slack, who do you think will be the most disappointing template guy over the medium to long term?
Ooh, Tim, good question.
Who is even template? That's the first question, but
I mean, I think the template at this point is like Alonso, City D, Liverpool D, Mo, Haz, Kuhn, you know, Arnie, mid-price forward, Richarlison, I like those kinds of guys.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like the cheap midfielder you have is probably going to be your most disappointing player. Like whether it's Freza, whether it's Felipe Anderson, whether it's fucking like Matto, Pereira, they're probably not going to get a lot of points, and you're going to wish you had Richarlison, maybe, would be my answer.
Yeah, it's not a popular answer, and it goes against, but I'm Arnie is worrying me.
You scared me there. You scared me.
Yeah, I'm just getting bad juju. I feel like, I don't know. It just, if I do not have him on my team, make sure you have him. If I ever decide to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's
promise. Can you promise me that?
I'll keep him for sure. And Pete, we'll get to our teams later, but people are writing in asking you for your future moves for that reason. So,
oh my god, it's horrible, dude. It's so bad.
Yeah, but at least you're benefiting the rest. I don't know. Yeah, it's bad. It's fucking bad. Two questions on the fixture pile. We got Jay Flow on Slack. What should we be most cognizant? Oh my god, his spelling of cognizant is just catastrophic. You need to spell checker on for J Flow. What should we be most cognizant of in regards to
what are there, like Z's in there or what? What do we have?
There's
going
a Z
on?
In there. It's cognizant.
It's all right. It's all right. I love
it's
that
fine. Kind of, I understand. I could still read it. we're all good. Just spell checker and you're good to go. What should we be most cognizant oh, God. Of in regards to fixture pileups and Champions League, especially in regards to pool and city assets, and then Garf on Twitter. Who do you think? God, I have like the fucking giggles. Who do you think are the best FPL options that will navigate the upcoming busy schedule, maximizing most minutes on the pitch?
So it's, you know, same as every year. Center backs more likely to play 90 than fullbacks when there are multiple games in a week. You know, the good teams with Champions League, you're going to get some zeros. The answer to that is strengthen your bench, not to get rid of your players who are in Champions League to players that aren't in Champions League, because then you're inherently getting worse players because you're getting players from worse teams. So the answer there is strengthen the bench. Make sure you have bench players who you're okay with coming off the bench, and that's about it.
Yeah, and among the, like, top teams, I feel like only, like, Kane, Hazard, and Mo are the ones that are, like, they'll probably start every game, regardless.
Yeah, probably.
Or it's like, no, you can't say that about any City guy or anyone else on like Liverpool. Yeah. Etheridge Nets again. It's like, rank the non-premium mids like Martial, Felipe Anderson, Bilva, Dilva, Mora, Rich, Siggy, etc.
What do you think? Where do you have them at?
I mean, I feel so lucky to get Martial points against City. But that said, before that, before excluding the City fixture, I would have put him probably number one. Easy to make a case for Richarlison number one, I think, also.
I would go Rich one,
just because it's just like the consistency of being the main man and up top, and he looks great, and they have some really good fixtures coming up, and they also have some really bad fixtures coming up, but... Yeah, the price difference between them and Dilva is too great, I think, to make Dilva worth it. Siggy's interesting. Felipe Anderson, what do you think? I mean, he got another goal. We were saying on last pod, if he does it again, then we'll really be interested in Felipe Anderson after City. And he did score and get 9 points because he got 2 bones. But what do you think of his performance?
Yeah, he was okay. West Ham were pretty bad.
Yeah, West Ham were fucking bad.
Yeah, he was okay, and I mean, Huddersfield, they played well 2 weeks ago. They got the first W on the board, and you know, it's a tough place to go.
They're kind of good at home. It's weird.
Yeah, they're kind of good at home. They press. They play good defense. It's a good atmosphere there. So, but yeah, the goals. Obviously, you don't want to bring them in before City, but you know, when you look at that fixture run, you can't feel bad about bringing him in and starting at game week 14 and seeing what he does for a couple months. I like Bilv a lot, though. I know Kevin's coming back soon, but Bilv, you know, he's someone at the beginning of the season before game week 1 started when a lot of people had him in their team simply because of the price. It felt like coverage, and Pep was bigging him up because he had a full preseason or whatever, or he was fit. But it wasn't based on important like things like him playing well and him being a good FPL pick. It was just based on like superfluous, he's going to be in the team, which is, you know, not how we play. We don't play with coverage picks. But over the course of the season, especially like the last 2 or 3, his performances are just at another level, and he's maturing before our eyes, and he influences the game so much. Again, it's a lot different than Dilv, because Dilv is that, you know, that extra runner into the middle of the box when it's out wide, or he has the freedom to do that. And Bilva like doesn't, he, I mean, very rarely or occasionally he does, but he's more around the edge of the box putting in those crosses. But he's just fucking really good. And I would have no problems whatsoever having him in my team at this point, just based on what I'm seeing out of him. So I would probably put him third. I'm there with Bilva. I would probably go Rich, Martial, Bilva, then Felipe.
Yeah, I tweeted about Bilva's performance against United, and I'm with you on the real life scale of how good he's been, because I mean, what I tweeted is basically like, they're missing the best midfielder in the league, and it doesn't even fucking matter. They're playing better than they played last season because Bilva's just slotted in and been a god, but I don't know. I still don't really believe that he's going to be consistent in fantasy at all. I mean, like, obviously put up, you know, 2 assists this week, and that was good. But he's very, like, I mean, before that, he had 4 returns in the season. He's basically started every game, and he just doesn't shoot much, like, doesn't create that many chances. He's, I don't know, to me, he's just more of, like, a build-up guy, and I don't really see a lot of points. Like, I'd rather punt on Felipe Anderson or something like that than Bilva, I think.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, realistically, both of these players are below Rich and yes, Tony M.
No question.
So unless if we just want to go against the grain and do something stupid, it would be, in my opinion, stupid to get either of them over Tony or Rich. Then, you know, they're not going to be in our teams. But, they're both more punty. But I've just seen a little bit more out of Bilva recently, just floating around the edge of the box and putting in some really cool balls. And
he's so good.
He's so good. He's a similar player to Felipe, honestly. He's, like, tricky, great on the ball, like, puts in great balls, good delivery, and things like that. But one of them plays for West Ham, one plays for City.
So. Yeah, Felipe has his shots, though. That was the thing for me. It was, like, what was it last week? It was, like, he shot, like, 5 times, and before that he basically hadn't shot more than once in any match. And then this week, again, he shot 3 times, scored another goal. Like, he's, like, very much trending upwards. Like, maybe against bad teams, his instructions will be like, go fucking get your goals, which mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, so maybe that's a thing, but
that's fair.
Yeah And then I think last question here, Kenshin on Twitter: are there any differentials to be found in the good fixtures of Huddersfield, Cardiff, and Newcastle, or is it just a false dawn? I need to gain ranks, but everyone has the same players down to Tony Martial. Only midfield is an avenue with fewer templates.
Let's take this in 2 parts, because I like the last part of that question a lot. But yeah, first part, I mean, Newcastle, you mentioned again, I don't mind having a 4-5 defender as a rotating Yedlin or Dummett. I mean, Dummett plays every game, even though he will not get an attacking return for the rest of his life. Yeah, at least he doesn't get yellow cards.
Yedlin gets the random, like, Cedric assists. Like, he just runs really fast and crosses with his head down, and he'll get lucky sometimes.
He also puts in the occasional red card challenge, which may or may not get a red card. So that's...
Yes, like, that's you carry a little risk there, yeah.
And not helping you a lot if you're really looking to raise, like, rise in the ranks from a differential of, like, a rotating kind of bad defender. But I honestly don't hate Rondon. I'm not being, like, silly at all.
You sound silly.
That's fine. But if you told me that last season, if Joselu's every single minute that Joselu played was played by Rondon instead, and he had the same chances, he would have scored 14, 15 goals last season.
I think so. That's possible. I see where you're coming from. I mean, like, he kind of did that when West Brom weren't the worst team in the league, and he was scoring like 8 or 9 goals a season.
Newcastle play to Rondon's strengths,
yes,
like West Brom did when they were healthy, and he's going to get some chances, and he's... he's cheap. Obviously, he's like sub-6 or whatever. So, I mean, if you're looking for a differential, if you have Ings or if you need someone in that bracket instead of getting like Jimenez and go, like, that's a punt where I'm like, yeah, just fucking, what's the worst that could happen? It's not like Jimenez is going to start getting 20 pointers, you know? That's somewhere where it's maybe a little bit interesting.
You know what? Tell me, like, why I'm looking up his stats and I haven't looked at them all season. You might be onto something here.
Dude, I always look at him. Like, no, he's, I mean, so, like, his, fucking great.
I know you're not, you don't give a shit about XG and shit, but, like, we have a lot of data on Rondon, weirdly, because he started, like, every fucking game for West Brom for 3 straight seasons as the main striker. And he basically was, like, 1-to-1 with his XG and goals, which makes sense. He's not, like, an elite finisher. He's, like, a pretty good, okay, average guy who, like, gets in good positions. And this season, his XG per 90 is way up for many of those West Brom seasons, like double. And so it's like, if that continues, he should put up a lot more goals. He should be better than those West Brom seasons where he scored 7, 8, and 9 goals.
So. And it's the same thing. Richie's a good play. He plays good balls in. Like, Jonjo, he's like hurt now, but he's, you know, he puts the good diags and, like,
yeah, Kennedy's fucking, ball this week was really nice.
Yeah, Kennedy's fast and shit, and he plays on the counter. He's tough to deal with. I just feel like with the fixtures coming up at sub-6 million striker, there's not a lot. So, I mean, I would make a case for him if he was a straight swap from Ings. I would one 1,000,000,000% make that swap this week, but he's not, and I don't have any money, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, my God. I'm kind of getting into this.
Dude, he's genius. He's fucking Venezuelan genius. Absolutely.
I mean, I've had him every season. There's no question about that. At some point in every season, I've had him.
He's just a Solomon. Like, you need a little Rondon time. He's just a great guy. Absolute legend.
Rondon Rousey, yeah. Continuing on the question, Huddersfield and Cardiff.
What about that fucking Patterson? He looks like he's a barber or like a bowling alley sales instructor or something.
He's like a 1920s like bowler hat guy to me.
He looks terrifying. He reminds me of like Tom Hardy in like all of the Tom Hardy movies. Like, yeah, he's that's just a scary guy.
But he's 5'2", but he is out and out striker and their best striker on the team somehow. Still wouldn't really feel comfortable starting him every week, but if he's your first off the bench, you could definitely do way worse.
Off the bench would be amazing.
Amazing. Best value guy you could possibly have for first off the bench, I think.
At 5'2", like I take him over Kennedy even for a little bit more. I mean, he's playing, like you mentioned, out and out striker. And he's on a fucking little run. He has 3 goals, 1 assist in his last 4, and he looks like he's not a football player. I don't know what he does on the pitch, but somehow he just keeps scoring these goals. I'm not sure, but yeah, I think that's like a reasonably defensible pick, but not to start every week though, right?
Yeah, definitely not to start every week. He's such a donkey. He's like so slow and weird, and I don't know what they're doing. But Cardiff, not the worst team in the league. Tell you that much. They're fine. They're okay. They might stay up. Camarasa at 4-5 is like probably the best 4-5. He's like on all their frees. He's hit the post. He creates some chances and stuff like that. So that's another sort of option. But again, not like a start every week guy at all.
Pritchard finally got a goal. I mean,
I always like him. He's a good
player. Yeah, you liked him
a
lot last season. Yeah. I remember you were talking about him a lot last season, but he's been starting for a while. But Huddersfield are at a different level of that. I wouldn't want a single Huddersfield player at all.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at their fixtures, but if you could figure out a good home rotation for them, like I see upcoming, they have some really good home games. They have home Brighton, home Newcastle, home Burnley. Those are okay shouts.
Home Burnley, January. It's coming up really soon.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. I mean, home Southampton. I mean, like, in the next 6, they have home Brighton, home Newcastle, home Southampton. Those are fine shouts for a clean. Like, they could do it if there's a good rotation, but I have no idea if there are.
I mean, Schindler's only 4-3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
That's as far as I'd go with any of those teams, though. But then what about the second half of the question with everyone having the same players? Like, how do we gain? Because I feel this big time. I'm sure we both do. Like, I feel like the weeks I go up are 30K and the weeks I go down are 100K because I just have average points every week.
Yeah, you miss captain. You know, that's...
Yeah, miss captain and I just die. Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of what I was alluding to earlier, where I'm just looking at, when I wildcard soon, how off the rails rogue mad scientist do I go, because I'm having a fucking nightmare season, and by having 5 of the template players who are all taking up like 50% of my budget or whatever, how am I going to rise? I mean, I know there's a lot of seasons left, obviously, and you know, normally, and like I've been trying to do the seasons like slow and steady kind of a thing, but it's not been working. So I don't know. I mean, are we getting to the point of the season where we always do around this time of like freaking out because we're bored? Or do you think we just need to stay the course?
Yeah, it's a really hard question. I mean, I'm sure I haven't done this, but I'm sure if you look at all of the like top overall guys or whatever, I'm sure their teams are all like the fucking exact same. And like, it's everyone that we just spent an hour talking about, and we have most of them, to be honest. We just don't have all of them, and that's why we are where we are, and they are where they are, and it is very frustrating. I mean, I think there are little bits of room if you're on wildcard to gain points. Like, unfortunately, it's not at the top end because everyone is going to have the same like top premium guys, but I think there are maybe like, you know, like triple Liverpool defense or something like that, or
That's what I play. So that's, I think the answer is going without Mo. I know his ownership has dipped a little bit recently.
It's dipped a lot. It's the 35%.
I mean, lot of the top teams still have him, but I think that's probably the place I would go just because, I mean, he has 10 returns on the season already through 12 game weeks, which, like, you know, you flux that out and he has 34 or something.
Yeah,
or
and he's casually on pace for 250 points, just like.
But he also he also casually has 2 bonus points all fucking season. And that's just, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And it's not tenable. No, I understand that. And the stats is, I mean, he's doing the exact same shit he did last season, but last season he was getting double returns. He was on pace for like 50 returns in the season instead of only 35.
Right.
And that's the difference, because when he's getting double returns, he's getting minimum 2 bonus points, then there's no worries. He's getting double digit hauls every fucking game and you're capping him and you're flying. He's not doing it this year. And he's still like fine, and every game he's still returning, and you know, every game he's on the verge of double returning, but he's 13 million and he's in not 2 million more worth 2 million more than Mo or Raz or Kuhn at all.
You mean,
it's not even fucking close.
You said Mo, you meant Raz, Haz, or Kuhn, right?
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, but he's still 61% owned in the top 10k teams, which is pretty fucking high.
Yeah, like, to me, that's the big differential. Because then you get those trios, you still have Alonso, you could still have, like, fucking heavy-ass defense, or, you know, you have Richarlison and Martial. You know, you still have a lot of these, like, really good players, but freeing up 2 million and having Hazard, Aguero, and Raz is a differential to most of the other teams that you're around. It can obviously backfire spectacularly because Liverpool, as we've seen historically, you know, can put 4+ pass every season.
Right, we've and Klopp has always been a second half guy. But
yeah, and I mean, but we've obviously also talked on the pod about, you know, watching them play games, and they're not pressing as much, and they're not as free flowing, and they're sitting back a lot more after they get their first goal, and they're just not looking to destroy teams by 5 or 6. Which it seemed like they were doing last season, every single game, and then they faded very late. And, you know, we remember Mo from game 34 to 38, he was fucking horrible. I think he had 1 return or something in the last 4 or 5
like
games.
That, yeah.
I mean, the whole team died, and they were just trying to finish second, scraping along, and the last few games they were completely dead and exhausted. So, you know, it's a fucking risk, no question about it, because Mo is an absolute world-class player. He's still playing on the second-best team in the league by a margin.
And he was so good against Fulham. Like, oh, my God.
That's the thing, is he's been so good, but Liverpool have not been so good.
Yeah,
I mean, the passing's not – the team is just not the same as last year, which we are, I feel like, are still having – are struggling to wrap our heads around.
No, I'm with you. I mean, it's weird because the team is like – I don't have numbers to back this up, but to me, the team is basically the same as last year, but the same as first half last year, not the same as second half last year. And second half last year is when they went on the huge unbeaten run, and VVD was in, and they were the fucking best, and had the most points in the league, most clean sheets, and 4-0s, and 3-0s, and 5-0s, and shit, and Mo hat-trick. And, like, first half, they were, like, I don't know, fifth in the table, like, plodding along, like, trying to figure out the team, all that shit. Losing 5-0 to City, et cetera. But yeah, it's also a difference between the opponents. I mean, I don't want this to turn into like the fucking Anfield rap, but yeah, I mean, that might be the place where you go differential. There's not many other places where you can get there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, is it's not a great option, but it's sort of the only option that I can tell.
Yeah, because it sucks, because we're both 300K, and we could play it really safe. Like, you could easily make a template wild card and just be fine for the rest of the fucking season and just not rise. Like, a month from now, neither of us want to be 200K, but that's, like, the trajectory we're on. We're not in the trajectory of going, like, 50K with a huge week.
Yeah, no, and that's...
Because there's no huge week available to us right now.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, doing something for... And then there's the other difference of maintaining rank, where you are, what your goal is,
right,
what you're doing
totally
in your mini-league.
We're
not going there. But, yeah, I mean, to go huge, big differential, like triple Liverpool defense, you know, Gomez, Allison and Robbo or something, and Alon's like going 3-4-3 with big triple Liverpool defense, you know, sticking those three like Kuhn, Raz, and Haz. Like, those are, that's a team that nobody on the fucking planet has. And, you know, if things break right, you could finish up with a 5-digit game week rank and go up a fucking ton of places. So,
you know what's weird? Martial only 10% on top 10K. Meanwhile, Mane is still on 42%.
Yeah, that's surprising. I guess Mane, well, they had the home Fulham, so a lot of people brought him in this last week. But yeah, I guess Martial's interesting, though. I mean, yeah.
Interesting question. Very good question, though. I mean, it is a thing that comes up every single season where we're just like, fuck the template, and we're bummed, and like, blah, 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 blah. And we have to figure out our own path, kind of.
Martial, the 5 straight games with goals is pretty
decent.
He's
so lucky to get a goal against City. Not only was it a pen, but Pogba had to not be playing also to take the pen. So this is ridiculous.
At least you got him in on wild card. 17 points, 2 game weeks. That's a good job.
Yeah, great job. Great job by me there. So that's good. Let's go on, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, next game week is very far away. But I think captaincy is kind of interesting. I mean, Craig on Facebook said, with the lack of standout captains next week, would you be tempted to go for an armband punt? Are you seeing something standout for captaincy? Because I'm not.
I guess. Yeah, I still feel fine with City. I think Raz is probably my favorite option.
Yeah, probably Raz is the best option. It's weird, you know, though. It's like off international break on a Champions League week. It's like, it's a little sketch.
No, it's certainly sketchy. It's going to be a really weird game, like, I think. So, you know, Mo obviously is always an option at Watford, but not fantastic. I feel better captaining either Kuhn or Raz, I think, than Mo, just because I think West Ham and Watford are similar. You know, West Ham typically been playing up to their opposition this season or down to, they've just been playing to their opposition.
City have not scored nearly as many goals away, though, I must say. Like, their balls are home.
Yeah, but they've also, I think, played like 2 more games at home than they have away, and their home fixtures have been absolute bankers, and their away fixtures have been really tough.
Yeah,
like,
they played at Spurs and, at Liverpool were the last two,
The home games have been really good, so I wouldn't read that much into that. Such a small sample, but I just, from what I'm watching with my face, is Man City's attack is not close to the same as Liverpool, and the fixtures are pretty identical. Then I'm not captaining Mo in that scenario ever.
Maybe like Abba's a shout at Bournemouth. Who? Abba,
what?
Aubameyang.
That's shout worthy, I guess.
It's punt shout worthy. It is a weird week, no question.
I feel like Kuhn. I'm on Kuhn right now. My initial inclination. I don't have Raz. I'll probably stick there as long as no one else dies.
Yeah, two weeks. A lot of people could die.
I mean, Martial's playing Palace at home.
I don't like that at all.
Defensively, that's too punty.
Yeah, I really don't like that. I know people will be on him for sure, but I don't like it.
Yeah, Richarlison's super punty. Don't like that. Yeah, I would just still. I don't. The fixtures aren't. You know, there's no standout banker, but I think it's still looking like a City or Liverpool asset. I think.
I don't know. Rondon at Burnley.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Okay. Do you want to talk about our teams? I mean, a lot of people are asking for your transfers. Frankenstein and Slack said, Walsh, please give us your transfers early. The anti-curse has struck again with the Dilvadong. Fat Gorilla and Slack said, can Walsh confirm if he plans to get Tony Martial in the next 10 fixtures? Because I want him for this upcoming run. But obviously, I won't buy if Walsh does. And then Eddie followed up and said, on a similar note, who has Walsh noticed yet not pulled the trigger on yet so we can pick those players as well? A lot of Walsh this week.
I have the crystal ball. It's just whoever I bring in is a nightmare pick, and whoever I talk about or get rid of are gangbusters. They're snails. They're fantastic.
So let's at least talk about that. So what are you thinking?
So Martial, I'm not going to get into. So he's safe for you field of players. Raz is definitely number one on my shopping list. So I don't think I really need to know what's happening with Ings. As I mentioned, obviously I'm very hot in the pants for Rondon, and I would bring him in. And Mendy, I'm definitely getting rid of with either not this, if not this week, then next week. So definitely hold him if you own Mendy or buy him as soon as you can. And Mane, I'm definitely getting rid of. So he'll probably go on a hot run. He'll probably score like 4 goals or 5 goals in the Derby. So definitely hold Mane because he's going to be out of my team very soon. And I think that's about it.
Okay, cool. That's that's like a new potential new segment. Just like Walsh's forecasting.
Was that an episode of Walsh forecasting?
Yeah, it's just Walsh was the weather, and then you just lay it down. There's a cool breeze coming in on the blah blah blah. Could be good. Think lastly, just wanted to look at Hivemind. We haven't looked at it all season on the pod. I mean, they've talked about it a lot in Slack, but for those who don't know, we're doing like a Slack team where everyone who's on Slack or everyone who wants to participate on Slack votes on every single player before game week one and then votes on every single move going through the season. And it's fucking doing really well. It's 45K. It's on a steady rise, 62 points this week. You know, just a fucking good team. This is just a good job by everyone. Naming the team's good job by us for a reason. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, I guess you could talk about perspective moves for the Hivemind team. I mean, it's diabolical. It's funny,
I mean, what? This is the funniest thing about the Hivemind team is it's 45 carry now. This is the team. It's Ederson in goal. We have Rabo, Mendy, and Trent in defense. We have Mo, Richarlison, Hazard, Camarasa, who we have to do something about that this week, yes, in midfield. And then we have Callum, Kuhn, and Arnie at
striker. The most template thing ever.
It's the actual most template thing ever. And because of the nature of the way we run the team, it's just like Friday move every week.
Yeah, don't usually even look at the team till Friday.
Yeah, I think we've only taken one hit. We can't really overthink things because we do a poll and, you know, we lay the options out and then we just do whatever wins. And it's just the simplest way you could possibly run a team. It's like, you know, a dog could manage it. It's just we talk about a quick thing and it's 45K. It's just infuriating that it's so much better than I am. And it's just, I just hate it.
Hivemind has had one really bad week. Game week 4 went down 150K basically. We took a hit, we rallied, and it's just been like steady green since then. And that was fucking just game week 5, we took a hit. Game week 9, we took a hit, and just steady greens. This week we'll probably, yeah, like you said, like deal with Camarasa. He should not be a starter. Maybe we'll just
We have Billing, Johnny, yeah, like Wan-Bissaka on the bench.
We'll just slot Johnny in for Camarasa. Wolves have two really good fixtures. We don't even need to transfer out Camarasa. This team's just outstanding. Yeah, it's just this is how you do well. We're 15th in Tuvalu's league. It's great. Great job by us. It's a good team.
Oh man.
And
what
I'll
about
use that.
Your moves? Do you want to mention it or
no? Oh yeah. I forgot that I have a team
too. You have
two
frees.
I have two frees. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about Mo out and I'm very hesitant about it. The only reason I'm thinking about it is because City attackers are more important and I don't have any of them. And there's no way for me to get any of them without swapping out one of my premium guys or taking like a -8 or something, which is in the cards. I don't think it's that bad. But as of now, I really don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, if Mo didn't look as good as he looked against Fulham, like say just like didn't have many shots or just like fucked everything up or didn't return or whatever, I was looking at like a Mo, Glenn, Jerry D out for like Mane and Raz or something like that because I can do that. But like Mane was diabolical. Although
no point.
Yeah.
I'm getting rid though. So you.
That's what I was going to say. You're getting rid. So it actually is like an uptick for Mane. But yeah, I don't know. It just feels so bad to get rid of Mo because he's still just so good and they have good fixtures and I don't know. It seems silly, but yeah, I really want a City attacker. I mean, in a dream scenario, I figure out a way to turn one of my bad forwards into Kuhn. I think that would be like the easiest fix, but I just don't have near the money to do that. Obviously it's $5 million away.
Yeah. You would again have to go with Mo out.
Yeah. Or just like bunch of hits and, you know, drop, you know,
two defenders
or something. Yeah.
All right, well, 2 weeks to figure it out.
Yeah, 2 weeks to fuck around and figure it out. So let me do the patron anus slaps of the week. Couple new Patreon friends need their asses slapped. We got Matt and Matt. We got Matthew Bagalay and Matt Adams. Get in there. Welcome. Happy to have you. Slap that ass. Let's go. Yeah, international break, bud. So we got, I don't know if we're going to have a pod next week. We might have a fireside chat. Might not. Definitely not a normal pod next week. Yeah, I think that's it, right? Any last words?
Yeah. I'm not making that mistake again.
Oh, come on. Nothing?
No, what am I going to, like, destroy my team even more by putting this out into the universe?
No,
fucking radio waves? Are you kidding me?
I mean, last words don't even have to be about FPL, you know? It could just be like, you know.
Whatever. There's nothing else in my life.
Wow. There it is. The root of all darkness begins there. Check us out at fmlfpl.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlfpl. Support us at patreon.com/fmlsubscribe. Rate, review on your podcast. Cheers.